But in that experience, you can, as I say, I have a sense, you see what I mean? But of course, it's such an overwhelming, you have to remember, you go through something like I've been through, and to the extent, that I more so mentioned to other people, you know, it'd be pretty hard for me to go back and buy me another 13 airplane, but, you know what I mean? I might be afraid to, you know? But you know, to buy a car, you see what I mean? But to the extent that I do it, I pretty much plot my own path, you know. You know, it's got to be, I know you have to conquer yourself, I have to get myself out, because remember when you start out, you know, particularly in Charleston, West Virginia, then you have to remember, here's somebody who didn't lose their license because they were crooked, lost their license because it's crazy. Brain dead, you see. Well, it's pretty hard, see, when you're going to get people to come back to take that. See, this is one of the things where, with publicity, is sometimes, like with the Gazette or something, you have to go from the outside in. See, in America, you know, Max Weber, you know, the great German, the turn of the century, he talked about the charismatic personality. You know, leadership, you know, it's the biological thing in politics. You know, the appearance. You know, they call it the charismatic person. You know, but one of the ways you do that, is because of our, perhaps genetically, and I'm talking now almost social biology, and our primate thing. You know, attention. You know, if you get attention. See, the one thing, if you're in trouble, say with the law or something, if you can just make enough noise and get attention, if you have those capacities, you sometimes can get out of it. See, if you can do that, you know, the attention, and sometimes with myself, you know, I mean, I made partly with this, you know, to get the attention, you have to watch what you do with the thing, because a pair of opposites gets you right past in Charleston, West Virginia. But you know, it's first to get myself out of the darn thing, and then, you know, then do something with my life. I have very different things, and I know definitely what I would like to do. I know what a life's work I'd like to do. I know one major thing. You know, I've things I want to do. I've already made written speeches for. But it doesn't mean, you understand? And very long, one of the things I did that will help you very much. You might read, get Joseph Campbell. Have you ever heard, why don't you write his name down? You'd call him a mythologist. He's the wisest man maybe going there. He wrote with 1,000 Faces. It's in a paperback book, Joseph Campbell, Myths to Live By. Get that, read that. He's written a thing called The Mass of God. Think of myths as other people's religion. Say spirituality, and that's one of the first things that I did when I came back. If I would tell you the unbelievable coincidences, things that now that have been verified, you know, just goes on and on. Sometime later, I could tell you with the. Let me give you an example. Have you ever heard of Gene Houston?
Yeah. You know, Gene, seminars.
Okay. Well, you know, Gene's one of the big people going in the world. Yeah. You know, if you want to meet 10, top 20 interesting people, I wouldn't have any questions, you'd be in it. And let me just give you an example. Remember, let me give you this one. I went to a seminar of hers, and I told this story that I'm about to tell you. What we did, we celebrated the Asclepian night, you know, the god, remember, in Socrates, in the death, Plato's death, and Socrates dies, he says, I will cocked Asclepius. Remember, well, that's the god of healing. He'd been healed of life. And, you know. But anyhow, but what they so we reenact these things, see. And this, you know, it's ribald, various ways. And one of the last things you do is everyone dresses in white and you sleep all communally with, you know, in head to head and foot to foot. You know, and then you have a great dream. And the great god Asclepius wishes you a healing dream, healing of the pocketbook, of the soul, you know, of your hopes, whatever it is. But one of the last things you do is tell miracles. And so I went up and I told this story that I'd been a bum, and I had finally, you know, I had thought, well, what am I going to do? You know, and one of the things got me, what am I going to do? Because everybody told me it's hopeless. And see, the big thing got me, I knew brain cells couldn't regenerate. And I knew that I essentially knew how it progressively got worse. See? I push it down. My thought was, even when I was talking to the doctor, it was almost like whistling in a graveyard. I'm going to get out of here, get on my, get off the streets, get in a place. But what am I going to do? What's my step? How am I going to recuperate? How am I going to do it? What's my plan? I'm a very practical person. So what had happened? I had this notion I'll be a healthy animal. Remember me telling you that? But so anyhow, what had happened after I had the experience? I finally got off. I got into the Spring Hill Apartments, and it's Roseberry Circles. It's right adjacent up there at the graveyard. We go up there, and I just go by. You'll see him. And I got on the sixth floor in an apartment that was facing almost where I could see him. Where I'd been, certainly right out there. So what I had done, I had my home, my styrofoam rubber scene, just a few things, but somehow I had picked up and got, this is within weeks or so after the graveyard experience. Within a month, I got off the streets, maybe within a week. And I'm up there, and I remember coming in that night, to get off the streets. What they just close that door. You can't tell anything. And somehow, but I ended up with the black and white portable TV set that I had purchased for my wife, ex-wife, at the time, some time ago. And I ended up with that there. So the next morning I'm going to get up, and that's my first day. Whatever I'm going to do. I hooked the thing up, and it didn't have HBO, but it took the three stations, and I think it took a public television or something. Anyhow, the next morning around 6:30, turned TV on, and this was at the time I think it was CBS, and before the religious programs preempted everything. Early in the morning, they used to have Sunrise Semester.
Yeah.
Okay, and there was one by Hazel Henderson, who was a futurist, economist and futurist, about alternative futures. And she had as her guest Jean Houston. And Jean Houston, and she was to talk on conscious raising and the historical way men have raised their conscience and changed their conscience. And when I come on, I turned the thing on, and she was telling the story of walking the dog with Mr. Tear. And if you're going to I'd rather let you find out what that's about. You're running during time. You never want to miss going out. You want to go to, she's the most powerful speaker probably in the world. You don't want to miss, not going to one of hers, I can assure you. And go to one way, you can go over the weekend, and then for usually they have one, and then she goes to maybe about 80 of them, or 90 of them, they go to some other place, for about 4 or 5 days. That's the big workshop. And it's one of these. And so she's on. And I start watching. And as I'm telling this, I said, you are on. I'm telling the story of, with my gown on, escaping it. And I said that I'm sure that I didn't see it right. But it seemed to me like you started weaving your hair, and your hair started flowing like a banshee. I can remember that, backwards and forwards, And I said, and you said that throughout the ages, man, in order to change his conscience and change himself, and heal himself, have done many things. They have spun, and they have danced, they have held their breath until they can't stand it. And they've gone on and on, And this would all vindicate. What essentially, remember when I told you, when I said I'll be a healthy animal, what I should do, And I started off on that. With her, I would go, and I would, before I could read, and I would get rocks. I would spin certain ways, stop, get a rock, look down, and remember the infinite amount of directions and rocks, in formations of nature. I would read from them the barks of trees. This is what I did. I can literally tell you. You can see why I hesitate, to certain extent, And I told her, I said, I know that didn't really happen that way, but I want to tell you that because of that, and I'm now here, this was my story to her. Never finished it. Well, that thing was on tape, at the time, still on tape. And of course, this doesn't really mean that much, but maybe it does. And she said, well, let me tell you the rest of that story. She's a journalist, you know, as you think, you know, so shall she be. And the print media, you know, is telling the story bad. You know, oh, they're all telling the story bad. The print media cannot inherently can, because the print media has to tell the word. You know, and as Thomas Mann says, the word can kill. The word kills. You understand? And you have to put the healing, you shoot the arrows true. Yeah, because if you're going to talk about somebody, you've got to distinguish them. And you distinguish them by telling what's wrong with them. You know, pretty well. Most descriptions, you know. And Thomas Mann, if you want to be a great journalist, a great writer, you know, you shoot the air true, but you put the bomb of compassion. Well, the bomb of compassion takes a lot of maturity. Yeah. But as I say, the word just has to do that. I think this is why always the print, the print people can never take it where the story of good can come, you know, from TV. That's where it's got to go. And we have to have it now, because the world as we know is much what we think it is. You know, and the old Kuwait, I began to find out that very much is true. Every day and every way I'm getting either better and better or worse and worse. You know, that might not much happen. You know, we know that far too much now psychologically. But we're getting that. But as I say, and the word is to Jeansy, she's beginning to realize, you know, this old hat of it, so she can show you miracles. So what? Anybody can do that. So. She's got to get out and tell the story of good, not to the true believers, but to the infidels. She's got to spread the word. See, which I think this thing about me with TV will have some effect on it. It's got to. It's the big reason why if you want to know the truth, why I want to get my voice. When I say that I want to be the greatest orator, that's really even at the word, you know. I want to be able to do it. Get it across, you know, and I know I can pretty well. Your voice has to have very much resonance in it. In order to have something connected with that. I know unless you're doing that, you can't get across to it. And if there's a certain resonance, you know, and if you can entrain the person in a vibratory thing in there, you can begin to communicate, and then when you listen to that, when you listen to the what we've talked about, it won't make any sense, you know. And you say, "Well, that was fascinating." See, but one thing you can start doing: turn it over to where I started saying the poetry, where I entrained you. See, and then it'll pick up again. I know, there's some keys that I've discovered. I know that happened. I know that I begin to see him there, and I think. He may be, and this monk's concept, see, was great, and many people felt that at that time Saint Francis of Assisi was the new man. No, not the way we think of him. See, you have to remember, Saint Francis of Assisi was almost the last, of the Europeans who attempted to work the thing out within the system. See. When it was Luther and them, you're tearing the whole thing down, see, or with Galileo. See, everything, you know, beginning to tear the whole structure down. St. Francis of Assisi tried to rebuild Mother Church. Remember when he was in there and said, rebuild this church, and he thought it was this local church he had to build up. See? But you have that. I think very often, though, that that age has come upon us now. I'm getting back to what we said on the Aquarian age. If you remember, the Pisces are too vicious. You know, the Christians accepted this. Good and evil. You know, bad and evil. You know, let me have that book for you. I'll give you another. And, you know, now the Aquarian ages. If you think about the Aquarian ages, which is hailed by Pegasus, you know, the wing, that hails the Aquarius age. And if you remember, the Aquarius is the water bearer. And if you remember, the water bearer is what we think of the unconscious or beyond good and evil. And you see the bombs. You see, each of these things, see, they have symbols to tell us on the thing. And when I said the thing about the bad rap, another word, a stronger thing that didn't feel was the affirmation of evil. That's a stronger. And it came if you hear this, this is full of symbols. Full of, you know, going to get messages from it, says. And when you read the, if you read this, the more you read it, and remember, this much of this came from the collective unconscious. So, you know, you can learn as much as I can from it. You know, man, it's called Athanatothel, Agnostothel. It's old Greek for the unknown God, taken from St. Paul, you know, came and saw the unknown God.
Are you reading the Greek?
Okay, now. Listen to the tone, the beat of this. I am the voice of the symbol. Listen, all you who would know. Percival, Merlin, and Wotan. Wandering Jew and Negro. Of the old king who is suffering. Wounded, powerless to die. Of the stone grave where the hero meet to plan ventures on high. Aged old child of the mother, cleft spring where madmen must drink. Lo, heed the voice of the symbol. Listen, don't ask, and don't think. Now ends the age of the fishes, darkness at war with the night light. Pegasus brings water bearer, ridden by El Kidder, the black knight. Kidder, the loner, the stranger, Gog and Magog he'll defeat. There on the plains, Armageddon, comforter, self you will meet. Conscious, redeemed by unconscious, left side of brain by the right, secret of the golden flower, marriage of day with the night. War not for me in a Vietnam. Damn not another man's sin. Seek not for me in the heavens. I'm the still small voice within. That's one that I didn't hardly write, did I? The service to growl. He who would read my works know me entire. Are you beyond guilt, regret, and desire? Resolved to do whatever God may require. He who is near to me is near the fire. Pursuing true self higher and higher. Your life to stand as truth's indemnifier, to be the people's great simplifier. He who is near to me is near the fire. Being your own judge and crucifier, endless inner trier by that judge of ire, pain for mortal things your purifier. He who is near to me is near the fire. No charted ways, no rest, no time to tire. Alone, always alone, your quest transpire. Your death alone, your life sanctifier. He who is near to me is near the fire. But you sense the thing, I have no doubt that when I think of myself often now, I think of myself very much as a leaf. We're all leaves on a tree. That men did not come down from heaven, you know, that the human beings sprung from the earth, you know, with a bouquet of the earth. With the leaves on the trees, I sense that the things I want to do, you know, when I'm pure, are not a sense. You know, when you talk about power, see, power is wanting to do something, to be something. I want to see things done. See, I think maybe I can see things. I think maybe another person, you know, does anyone know to do that done? But what I want to see it done. You know, things in my life I want to do. Things in the life to do. See, I don't have that sense of power trip before, and I don't get blinded so much. I'm very conscious with myself, you know, the role of things. To watch it, you can ask some of the people that know me better now. You know, they say that it's when John's got everything coming up rose, and that's when I get scared. I start nosing for the rose. So. It's a good thing to do. You know, and when things are bad and dark, as I know it's coming, buddy. This is why they say, and there's about a 20-page introduction in there that hadn't been corrected, because it was written partly by a Muslim friend of mine who died, and it was added on to. Yeah, you can see it's written, but, yeah, but there's some good insights in there. But they mention one thing. That this is why I'm probably the only person I know that plan the impossible, plan to do it, base my life on it. I've got a saying that in the long run, only the impossible happens. Not the impossible, you know, can happen. You can make it. It's the only thing that does happen. Go ahead and go up to West Virginia University Library, read the World's or the National Experts Time magazine the last 20 years. Compare that to the real world. And I plan that, see, because I know that each step along my life, see, had I stopped, and I had been an expert at one time, you understand? And if I had made my decision, as the experts would, there was no possible chance of doing it, no conceivable chance. But I know that each victory, see, each victory or each defeat changes reality. I know now that... there's a curious thing about the human will that's maybe unique in nature. When I will the impossible, or I will the ideal, or I will unreality, what are you going to call it? A very paradoxical thing occurs. I am in reality willing something, aren't I? That's true. Yet what I'm willing isn't there. Well, I've got some clue to my mind, and I haven't thought this to her, see, that somehow is a shunt between the two. Because once you do that, each victory you have, you know, or it isn't you victory, when you sense, you know, and you get on the roll, you know, each one changes reality, see. And I know, and each step, and then you take another step, and another,